In the week that saw the demise outside the parish of Artie Johnson, famously of Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In, this was a week where many things were very interesting, but stupid? Well, I'll leave it to you to judge. Welcome to the Exchange of Information. This is the Exchange Invest podcast. As I mentioned in the pre-roll, we had the demise this week, of course, of Artie Johnson, the famous comedian who was one of the stars of Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In. Alongside them, sadly, people we must say valet to this week were Lee Iacocca, the famous man who reset the Chrysler balance sheet and, of course, most famously, was responsible for the birth of the Ford Mustang. Finally, we had the death of Christopher Booker, a man who voted to enter the EEC in 1975, but later realised the remarkable folly of that organisation in his many writings against, well, a swathe of stupidities that came out of the Brussels blob. He was in many ways the father of Euroscepticism in British modern life. All three of them will reappear quite feasibly during the course of this podcast for the simple reason that their writings were used to add to the PLY pith in the Thursday, July the 4th episode. This, of course, as you'll know, was following in keeping with the famous September 24th, 2015 edition, where we used the great words of the late, incredible Yogi Berra as the sole pith for the day, replacing myself, Patrick L. Young. Over in Big World, perhaps the biggest surprise of the week was that after multiple sleepless nights and all degrees of chaos, the European Union actually managed to find suitable candidates that they seek to propose for their top posts. Of course, there wasn't actually any vestige of democracy about the thing, you understand, but nonetheless, we managed to find ace loyalist and can kicker for Mrs. Merkel, Mrs. Ursula von der Leyen, being proposed as EU president. A stunningly underwhelming German defence minister, who is therefore in keeping with the standard metric of all European Commission presidents must be, in some way, shape or form, a thoroughly failed politician. In some ways, though, it has to be said, she seems to be even more failed than most. Leaving aside all of the details of this tawdry affair, I have to say, the words of Christopher Booker came back to haunt me. The key to understanding the unique system of government known as the European Union is that everything about it is based on smoke and mirrors, with nothing ever being quite what it is pretending to be. The biggest parish deal of the week was relatively small in money terms, a salutary £1 plus £2.7 million for working capital. However, it is a somewhat transformational deal across the parish. Alistair Haynes' Aquis MTF is now going to acquire a full RIE, a recognised exchange licence, from the UK, plus he gets a push into SME listings by buying the next exchange, what was originally Plus Markets. That gives him a very, very interesting opportunity to expand in so many directions, given a relatively small price being paid, albeit for a money-losing entity, and it certainly looks for next exchange to be a much better deal and a more exciting future than the previous deal, which was a bid by Oliver Hemsley, which failed to complete. Given comments that there's been previously in the media, we must expect that CEO of Next Exchange, Patrick Burley, now expects to exit the next CEO role when the deal is completed with regulatory permissions, etc. Anyway, this is marvellous news all round and a clear win-win for both Next Exchange, its listings, as well as Aquis, and indeed London's exchange firmament, which after all has been under threat, according to those who believe that Brexit is a major disaster. Elsewhere in a week where we saw several mini-deals, Six Fintech Ventures acquired a stake in PXL Vision AG, which is a company providing unique software solutions powered by artificial intelligence and VR-AR algorithms. Meanwhile, Hong Kong exchanges complete the acquisition of their Rongui Tongjin majority stake. And indeed, there was interesting news from India because the petition for the development of a new power exchange has been filed with the regulator, the CERC. Then came the news that Dmitry Galanov, after his, well, somewhat controversial exit from Euronext after they bought his venture Fastmatch a year or so ago, Galanov is returning. He's going to launch an electronic trading FX derivatives exchange in association with Jason Wirtz, the former head of execution at Bridgewater Associates, the hedge fund, and Paul Millward, who was head of FX product strategy at the US exchange Cboe Global Markets until August 2018. very interesting development there. Galanov putting some $600,000 into the venue of his own money and also seeking an additional $1.5 million. Meanwhile, on Friday, elsewhere, of course, related to Fastmatch, the Euronext parent group of Fastmatch, Dmitry Galanov's former company, well, Euronext finally announced total, complete, and utter victory. They own 100% of Oslo Børs's VPS shares. Elsewhere, Euronext rounded out a very, very interesting deal week on the, well, not very, very large deals, but nonetheless quite interesting all the same. So Euronext invested in Tokeny Solutions, a compliant tokenization platform, taking a 23.5% stake, the complete round being offered, for a 5 million euro investment. Fascinating times and deals altogether, despite the US holiday. Monday, July the 1st was two things. It was, first of all, the 20th anniversary of a book coming out called Capital Market Revolution, which was launched at the British Library in 1999. I know and remember the day well as the author of the book, of course. But elsewhere, the really interesting news on July the 1st was the fact that, well, the Swiss Stock Exchange cleaved from Europe, thanks to the protectionist measures of the European Union. This is the European Union, incidentally, which is able to find equivalents in one of the Indian stock exchange clearing houses this week, NICCL, but was unable to actually agree to equivalents with the Swiss stock market. Parentheses. Does that make you wonder if Europe is largely politically motivated? Close brackets. Well, anyway, Monday, Swiss Stock Exchange came in. It was closed off from business from the rest of Europe, and promptly they saw exchange volume jump. They actually recorded the highest level of volume in 6 weeks on Monday, July the 1st, even though the protectionist European Union is trying to throttle the market. In technology news, we had two very interesting stories. First of all, confirmation that the GPW, the Warsaw Stock Exchange Management Board, will start work on the development of a proprietary trading platform with co-financing from the NCBR, a Polish governmental organization. That's obviously a bit of bad news for Euronext, who've been leasing the platform to the Warsaw Stock Exchange for some years now, in fact, dating back all the way to the days of Duncan the Value Destroyer running the Nice Euronext empire. But at the same time, a fascinating one for the Warsaw Stock Exchange, which has said that it wants to get more into providing IT solutions and indeed tech as a whole for its clients and indeed obviously for its own market. Alongside that, on Wednesday we had the excellent news that the good folks of Nasdaq have secured yet another CSD client. They're going to deliver post-trade technology to Caja de Valores, the Argentine Central Securities Depository. Perhaps the best news of the week for clients came from the Middle East, from the Emirates no less. Abu Dhabi Exchange ADX made an incredible announcement on Monday. In keeping with a government plan, Gadan 2021, which seeks to eliminate barriers and cut the costs of doing business in Abu Dhabi, the Abu Dhabi Securities Exchange is going to cut its commission fees as of the 1st of July this year by a simply stunning 50 to 90%. I'll repeat that. They're cutting them in at least half, if not all the way up to 90%. Bravo, Abu Dhabi Exchange. This is incredible news, and I'm sure it's going to see a great deal of progress on the marketplace, which is making great strides forward amongst the Emirati and indeed the broader Middle Eastern and EMEA marketplace structure. What a great move by ADX. Perhaps the most interesting product news of the week concerned a product that isn't actually being broadly traded. Nonetheless, Prime Minister Mahathir, the incredible nonagenarian leader of Malaysia, has, according to a report in the South China Morning Post, impacted a sea sand ban on neighbouring Singapore. Neighbouring Singapore, as you know, expands its territory quite regularly with reclamation. It's added about 10% or so to the level of the extent of the country in the course of the last number of decades. Sea sand's a very interesting market. It's curiously opaque. There's no available index, yet there are a lot of people who are very, very eager to do a great deal of reclamation. And therefore that, and indeed river sand, which is also something we've been talking about in Exchange Invest recently, because river sand is very pivotal when you want to use it for the development of things like cement and building products. See, river sand is, well, we're suffering a shortage of that in many, many places, thanks to the incredible Chinese building boom. Nevertheless, the actual sands themselves are generally priced at a level where the transport is the key pricing factor for distance importers. That's obviously a blow for Singapore, as they would have been clearly hoping to get the sand relatively easily and shipped straight down from Malaysia without too much difficulty. Now they're going to have to rely on exports from the likes of India and the subcontinent and other places, which are going to cost them a great deal more. Watch this space. Who knows? Will 2020 be the year when we finally get coherent markets in water and perhaps even sand? Meanwhile, Hong Kong launched spot aluminium trading on their mainland Chinese platform, Qinhai Mercantile Exchange. And indeed, on Friday, no doubt hearts were aflutter, particularly in Hong Kong exchanges, as they hope to be the listing venue, when The Economist, that august English weekly stable magazine, announced that Saudi Aramco, the world's potentially largest IPO, may be on once again. Elsewhere, we had some news about ETFs, new ETFs being added in AIX in Astana and A2X in South Africa, as well as other parts. Turmeric was another commodity which made it to tradable markets onto the BSE, the Bombay Stock Exchange's commodity derivatives segment. And then there was also news of Portuguese power futures auctions to help Portuguese retailers. Under the series of auctions, Iberian Energy Exchange OMIP will be running an indicative monthly periodicity. Over in Vietnam, we had a couple of product launches too. The Ho Chi Minh Stock Exchange launched trading in covered warrants. Meanwhile, its rival and rumoured to be its merger partner for many years, the Hanoi Stock Exchange, has launched a new government bond future. In Tanzania, the commodity exchange, the Tanzanian Mercantile Exchange, is finalising procedures with the Coffee Board of Tanzania before hopefully starting trading in coffee in the near future. While Dalian Commodity Exchange, it was a big week for product launches, Dalian Commodity Exchange is rolling out styrene and polished round-grained rice futures. That's another one, of course. I mentioned sand, I mentioned water this week in previous podcasts even, as well as many times in Exchange Invest. I've always been discussing how incredible it is that thanks to government subsidy, we don't really have a better marketplace in rice the world over, despite, of course, the many variations there are in that market. Finally, for this week in product news, Ukraine's new electricity market work started on that on July the 1st, and for the time being, under the bilateral agreements, within the course of the next 3 months, temporarily trading is going to be carried out on the Ukrainian Energy Exchange. What a busy week and an interesting one, from turmeric to aluminium and much, much more in the world of products. Just in brief, a couple of exciting anniversaries this week. First of all, a happy birthday to Bond Connect, which was highlighted in the South China Morning Post, Hong Kong Exchange's opportunity to give foreign investors greater access to China's $9 trillion US bond market, is of course working rather well, albeit of course there's still no mention of the long-awaited southbound trading opportunity, which would give Chinese investors access to foreign bond markets. At the same time as that, happy birthday to Zagreb Stock Exchange, to Ivana Gazic and the team. The exchange is 28 years young on Friday. Absolutely marvellous to hear the Zagreb Exchange continues to go from strength to strength. Of course, it's a centrepiece to the Southeastern European marketplace and has many initiatives in place. Happy birthday to everybody in Zagreb. In People News, we had a cornucopia of information this week. First of all, 4AX, the African upstart competitor stock exchange to the JSE, one of several in that country at the moment, announced that Faye Mukadam has stepped down as CEO. The CEO of Rainfin, Sean Emery, is going to take over as the interim CEO, while Mukadam is leading a rigorous recruitment process for the future long-term CEO. Over in the Lusaka Stock Exchange, a little bit of a cause for concern. They've employed a chief financial officer who apparently is unregistered with the Zambian Institute of Chartered Accountants. Sounds like a bit of an elementary error to me. Meanwhile, we had the name of the former Hong Kong Exchange official who was arrested last week in the IPO graft probe, Eugene Yeo. He was formerly a co-head of Hong Kong Exchange and Clearing's IPO vetting team. Over at the UK Regulators Feedback Panel, Nikhil Rathi, CEO of the London Stock Exchange, the actual London Stock Exchange itself, not the group per se, has succeeded the UK boss of Euroclear on the FCA's panel of market representatives. Meanwhile, over at Project Heather, the Scottish Stock Exchange announced new hires to round out its team with the appointment of Elaine Morton, formerly of Sainsbury's Bank, as Chief Regulatory and Compliance Officer, while Helen Webster becomes Chief Operating Officer, having previously held a similar role with Aberdeen Standard. A series of interns were also announced, and the staff will all be taking office in the Bourse's new George Street headquarters, which will house a permanent staff of 12. Meanwhile, over at EEX, Dr. Egbert Lega has asked to stand down. As of 30th of June 2019, he will resign from his position as president of PowerNext, based in Paris, and ultimately by the end of this year, he will step down as a member of the EEX management board. In the subcontinent, not such a good week for former exchange board members. The former Pakistan Stock Exchange chairman Hussein Lawai had his post-arrest bail plea rejected over a case relating to fake bank accounts, which we've been discussing for some months now. And meanwhile, SEBI in India fined the former director of MCX, Hariharan Vaidyalingam, for, would you believe, insider dealing. I mean, who in their right mind expects to get away for insider dealing these days? Oh, except, of course, for that Spanish bloke who's just become one of the presidents or the something or other of the European Union. Well, there you go. Anybody else, we'd see it as the end of our careers, but if you're sufficiently well-connected, you can just manage to carry on to greater things yet with the blob. Who knows what will happen in the career of Mr. Hariharan? And finally, on a slightly more uplifting note, the BACT CEO, Kelly Loeffler, who's also the co-owner of the Atlanta Dream women's basketball franchise, has been chosen to be one of the ladies who are members of the President of the United States of America's delegation to the finals of the Women's Soccer Football World Cup this Sunday. I wish the USA every success, and I hope Kelly has a great trip. Given it's July, given it was Independence Week, that was a relatively fewer number of stories than we might normally publish, but nonetheless, some very, very interesting articles. The rest of them were covered in Exchange Invest newsletter itself. We covered about 120 stories this week, as per usual. If you missed them and you'd like to subscribe, send me an email, patrick@derivativesvision.com. Alternatively, go to the website exchangeinvest.com. We'll be happy to sign you up. You can have a brief free trial, and thereafter, it's $200 per user per year, with corporate discounts for larger groups of people at the same domain, and we would be delighted to welcome you to the Exchange of Information. This has been the Exchange Invest Weekly Podcast from myself, Patrick L. Young. I hope you have a great week in markets. Thank you for listening.